Peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Thank you for tuning in. Our next guest was at the convenience store going to get some food. That's what we do. That's what we do. We eat, we drink. And where do we go to get the food? We go to the convenience store. So he's at the convenience store, the grocery store. And guess what? I mean, you would never fathom or imagine that the store that you're in is about to get robbed. That's right. Sawed off shotgun. But guess what? He had a gun. He had a gun too. So what happens next? I mean, you're going to have to tune in to this week's show to find out now. Is it like the Wild Wild West? I mean, we got the footage too. The surveillance cameras are on the scene filming. And my next guest, he saved the day. Find out what happened here on this week's show. And Mike Tyson now. Why are we mentioning these celebrities? Because most of you people look up to him. You shouldn't. It's a sad reality. But Mike Tyson, our brother, who's a Muslim too now, and we've invited him to be on the program, waiting to hear back. Mike, have your people get in touch with our people, and let's have you on the Dean Show. We're going to be talking about Mike Tyson also. We got some great advice for him. Luckily, most people wouldn't be brave enough to mention Mike and give him some advice, but alhamdulillah, the maker of mankind is on the side of those who speak the truth and love the truth. And luckily, I know some Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so if Mike throws a punch, I can duck under, take him to the ground. Out of the love. We love you, Mike. We'll be talking about Mike Tyson, too, here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back for this exciting episode. Don't go anywhere.
This is
Welcome back to the Dean Show. Nadir, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah, blessed privilege.
Yeah, I opened the program. We're going to get into this story. Very exciting. You know, I mean, obviously at that time, I mean, more than exciting, you're probably nervous. How'd you feel? The guy comes in, you're shopping. What do you get, milk?
Well, actually, we're getting some vegetables.
Vegetables?
Vegetables.
You eat healthy, huh?
Indeed.
Okay, so you're getting some vegetables. What are you shopping for? What else?
Well, it's interesting because I believe that it was destined to happen. Actually, my wife initially went by herself. And I was on the phone having a conversation. My son started crying. And he was sitting with his siblings. So I said, hey, let me just go on inside. So I went inside. She was at the cash register already.
Wait, you're so
about
you're,
to check out.
Your wife's in the store. She's by herself. So what happens next?
So after I got in, we were in line. I found her. She was in line. And there was a couple and someone else before us checking out. And as I'm standing there looking, you know, at the cashier and talking on the phone, I see a security guard with his hands up and he's walking. I see a guy behind him with a sawed-off shotgun in a bag. And I'm thinking, I can't believe it. I'm like, this is an armed robbery. It was very surreal.
Did that happen? It's surreal. You're just like, this could no one could imagine they're going to find themselves in a robbery. Sawed-off shotgun, go off at any time.
Full grocery store about 7 o'clock at night.
So you got like... So many the surveillance cameras. We're going to about to see some of this.
Yes.
What went down? So what's going on through your mind?
Well, first, obviously, getting my wife out the way. I let her know she was looking at me, so she didn't see him. She didn't see anything. I saw it. I backed away, told her to move out the way, unholstered my firearm right away.
Okay. Now people are like, "What are you doing?" Look, we always look. When I just greeted, I just said, "Peace be with you, brother."
Yes,
we talk about Islam being a way of peace. We know that Islam is the way of light that was sent down from the Maker of mankind. Submission to the will of God. And Jesus was a Muslim. He did Islam. We talk about peace, peace, peace. And now you got a weapon and somebody's like, come on, man, phony baloney. These guys are carrying guns out there. What kind of people of peace are they? What are you doing with the guns?
Well, the reality is we live in a violent world. Okay. And it takes people to check other people. So, for example, when you look at Moses, alayhi salam, and he fought. We look at Isa, alayhi salam, he said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword.
That's what Jesus said in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And Prophet, alayhi salam, fought. The challenge is that you have to have peace-minded individuals who want peace actually enforce action, unfortunately, against those who don't want it.
So you got a license to carry?
Yes, Wisconsin, just, yes.
Okay, so this is a legal firearm that you're carrying?
Absolutely.
Your license, you got a permit, everything registered, and you have it, it's concealed, and now guys got a sawed-off shotgun.
Right.
What does that look like? What does it feel like?
Well, he had it halfway hanging out of his jacket, so most of it was concealed in his jacket, and it was just hanging out.
But that's life now. that's life or death right now.
Indeed.
Because that shot out shotgun goes off, somebody's dying.
Right, and he's waving at everybody in the store, waving at me.
Well, he's doing like this, he's waving it. What's he saying?
We can't repeat the words.
Profanities.
Exactly.
But besides the profanities, what did he say? Give them up?
Not
money.
Move, nobody move, give you the money, I want all of it. Pointing at the cashier who was crying hysterically, had it pointing at her head the whole time.
Well, he's like, I'll kill you, give me the money.
Yeah, okay. And he'll kill everybody. You know, I put my hand up, my left arm up, I put my body side to him because I have my firearm on my right side. And it was just really, really intense because you don't believe something like that is about to happen.
Okay, walk us through it now. Okay, so walk us through what's going on.
Good stuff. Well, after I saw the thug come in, armed robber come in, you know, it's one thing to call him a gentleman, got my wife out the way.
Yeah, so he's walking in. You can see him walking in here in the surveillance camera.
Right. Yeah. So got my wife out the way. I backed and I wanted to put something between myself and him.
He's got the hoodie on. You see him, he's walking in like real sneaky.
Yeah, hopped over. Nobody really saw him.
Now he's got the gun. Look, it's hysteria.
Yes. And these are, the camera are different clips from different angles so that you can see what's going on.
Who's this lady in the green right
That's
now?
That's the cashier. That's one of the
she
cashiers.
She just broke out. She's panicking, hysterical.
She was hysterical. She started crying.
She's putting the money now. What's that? She's putting the money in the bag?
Yep, putting the money in the bag. He wants all of it. You can see me in the top corner, just positioning myself between him and a pole. Now, the challenge is, there was a guy who just moved right there in the
That's
screen.
That's the red arrow now, right? The guy who moved?
The guy who moved.
Yeah.
He was actually in the line of fire.
Okay.
So I didn't want to shoot and put him at risk.
Yeah.
Okay.
You went through classes to learn how to use a firearm, is that right?
Yes. Okay. It's required in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, so you had to complete a course?
Yes. It was 4-hour training. And the challenge with this situation is there was a guy that was on the back wall. Okay, so with him being on the back wall, if I'd opened fire while he was still threatening her with that gun, it's possible he could have gotten shot from me. Okay, and I wanted to make sure, obviously, no innocent bystanders were shot. So he saw me, alhamdulillah, he saw me. We made eye contact, and I kind of nodded as we made eye contact. I said, did like that, and he moved out the way. That's when I was able to actually engage. The challenge is I was not properly prepared. And what I mean is I did not have a round in the chamber.
Mm.
All right, because normally at home I don't keep one there. So that was one of the scariest moments and longest milliseconds of my life.
Because how long does it actually take? Don't you hear the sound when it goes in the chamber?
Yeah, you can hear it. I mean, it only takes a second or two.
But I had already pointed.
So I had given the guy the opportunity to see me because he still was threatening the cashier. He had a gun point to her head while I had pointed at him and pulled the trigger and nothing happened.
Oh.
But I had to engage, rack around, and then I was able to let off a couple rounds and hit him twice, actually, once through the leg and the other was grazed on the forehead. Mm-hmm. So he was shot. And they went to the hospital. His getaway driver was waiting for him, and they caught him at the hospital shortly thereafter.
SubhanAllah. So this is a moment of life and death. Now, it's like, what have you prepared? I mean, we never know when somebody can pull out a gun. You're walking to your car. You're walking with your family, whatever the case, just minding your own business, and that's it. Or you're walking across the street, and a car hits you. You know, someone holds you up like what happened here. Very sad situation. But you got a Muslim. You're a Muslim now. and this is good. National coverage because a Muslim will blow smoke the wrong way or, you know, cough the wrong way.
Right.
And they'd be like, oh, okay, this guy sat with somebody who knows somebody and he's a Muslim. And now national coverage. And we know that Islam has nothing to do with, you know, all these horrific, crazy things that are going out there. But now did this get press, you know, big time press coverage?
No, national coverage? Local press only. There was local press, but it's interesting you say that when you talk about a Muslim will get national press for throwing a firecracker on the wrong side of the street, basically, because there's just recently a mass shooting in the Navy Yard where the guy was just called a shooter after killing maybe a dozen people. And because he's a Buddhist, he's called a shooter, but we know it had been a terrorist attack had it been Muslim, unfortunately. But no, it was a pretty hushed situation, but it was the first time anyone had a license actually stopped a crime in the state of Wisconsin since that law has been in effect.
That is so sad that this individual, crazy individual, killed like in that Navy Yard. How many, 12 people?
I think it was 12, 13 people.
And he was a Buddhist, but Buddhism doesn't come up. Or he used to be a Christian. He used to like to talk about religion, but now they're trying to evaluate his head, like what was going on in his head. He's mentally, but nothing about terrorism or anything.
Right. And more people were killed, four times as many people were killed than in the Boston bombing situation.
Sad.
Indeed.
Yeah, we take a break?
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back with more here on the Dean Show. Don't forget, we've been talking Mike Tyson. We got some things. Your friend knows a friend, or your friend.
They go to the same barbershop.
They go to the same barbershop because we got some. We want to talk to Mike. We'll be here with Nadir back to talk to you some more on the Dean Show. We'll be right back.
I'm so tired.
When I read through the Old Testament and New Testament, it didn't make any sense.
Feels like I've walked 1,000 miles.
When I looked into the Eastern faiths, such as Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism and whatnot.
Uninspired, dunya's got me on my knees.
I agree with a lot of their principles and ideas, the same with Christianity and Judaism, but they just didn't strike a chord. They didn't make sense with me.
But thankfully I've got Islam. Oh.
And as a result of such, I was not a fan of religion, was not a fan of organized religion, and I took a very atheist approach towards belief.
It gets me through trying times. Oh.
I could leave work, go have a bottle of vodka, smoke a pack of cigarettes, have a double bacon and double cheese sandwich, and go to sleep drunk and happy, come to work the next day, and I was miserable.
And when I read the Noble Quran, oh.
What do you think about Christ? What do you think about God? Who is Allah? Who is Muhammad?
It tells me what's the truth and gives me all the proof.
With just a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of investigation, you can see that Islam's not the boogeyman that it's been made out to be.
My Allah is the one, the one, the one, one, the one.
I didn't believe in organized religion at all. So to read the Quran, I thought to myself, here's another book I can put on the shelf of fictitious make-believe.
The one, the one.
It took me 3 nights to read the Quran, and when I was done reading it, I remember thinking that it was the first, and to this date, the only religious book I've ever read that makes sense.
The one.
From beginning to end, it doesn't contradict itself. It's an instruction manual for living.
My Allah is the one.
Back here on the Dean Show, and sad situation. You know, we don't want harm to come to anybody, be it, you know, a non-Muslim, Muslim, potential Muslim, not yet Muslim, whoever's out there. I mean, Islam is a peaceful way of life. And if people were living this way of life, you know, even if people were just, you know, just had purpose, and that's what this program is really about. If they knew their purpose in life, when people live for pleasing their creator, for living for a higher purpose, you usually don't see people out there, you know, trying to murder other people, bringing harm to other people. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things I've noticed is that people who live with purpose have a passion for life, and not only their life, but others as well.
Yeah. We mentioned Mike Tyson. So, you know, do you follow boxing? Were you a Mike Tyson? Most people knew Mike Tyson
yeah,
from boxing,
Tyson.
Knocking everybody out.
When I was a little kid, absolutely. I remember playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out on Nintendo, trying to beat him.
Did you beat him at least?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I got close, but no.
Yeah. Well, just like Mike Tyson, he went to Umrah, or was it Hajj? And he hooked up with a lot of our brothers down there, Brother Shadid, Muhammad Abu Huraira, Dr. Brown, who we had on the program. They talked to him, wonderful brother. He talked about, you know, that he's never felt this kind of peace, right? Never. Did you also, because you used to be a Christian, you accepted Islam. Can you relate? Have you been to Hajj also?
Yes.
Can you relate to this peace that Mike was talking about when you accept purpose, why you've been created from the maker of mankind?
Absolutely. Just to try to summarize my story briefly is I was raised Christian, Lutheran, in Christian private school from kindergarten all the way to 10th grade. And I had a lot of questions that weren't answered for me. And as a teenager and becoming rebellious at the time, I knew that my lifestyle was not okay. What I was doing would be okay as long as you believe and are baptized or you take communion. And I said, you know, this doesn't really make sense. So what I did is I just disowned all organized religion, or what people call it, organized religion. I said, you know, Judaism, somebody tried to introduce me to Islam. When I first heard about it, he wasn't practicing, number one, but I knew Muslims were disciplined. So I said, I don't want to give up my women, my weed, or my baby back ribs. That was why I rejected
it. My women, my weed, or my baby back ribs.
Yes.
I'm sure most people can relate to that.
I said, I'm not giving that up.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to hear it from him.
Yeah.
But I still was soul searching because I was in that religious environment. I believe there was a God, so I disowned all things or organized religion and said, you know, I know there's a supreme being. And long story, just a tad longer, is I got into some trouble and a guy sent me a book. He said, you know what, read this book. And the book dealt with the roots of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And as I looked in the different roots, and when it came to Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَّدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
You've memorized the original Arabic. You're not Arab, but you have, like, the Quran is in preserved in the original language. You just recited
indeed,
it.
Indeed, and that's one of the blessings and mercies and things that is so attractive. You don't have to depend on a translation of a translation of a translation, and you lose the original source.
So define what you just said.
So قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say He, Allah, is one. God is one.
God, the maker of mankind.
Exactly. Allah is samad. Allah is self-sufficient. He doesn't need food or drink. He doesn't need to rest on the seventh day. Okay, I really had a problem with that even before I knew anything about Islam. God resting sounds like a weak God.
Yeah.
Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, he doesn't have any children, nor is he a child or born of anything or anyone. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is nothing co-equal or comparable unto him at all.
Nobody.
Nothing.
Jesus, nobody. Nobody's comparable to the Creator.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And that right there was, in its essence, what I believed naturally. And when I saw that chapter, I was like, this is my religion, this is what I believe. This is simple. It's very simple, easy to understand, and you cannot get it confused with other stuff and so on. So that's when I decided, you know, I'm going to be a Muslim.
Now, we know that Jesus was a Muslim, Abraham, Moses, people kind of like get shocked. What do you mean? Because simply a Muslim is one who
follows the will of God, period.
Follows the will of God, that's it.
When you look at the declaration in Islam of the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. And we look at the first of 10 commandments that I was raised up with, it says, you shall have no other God but me. And when you look at it, it says, you shall have no other, it means it negated, just like the Shahada saying, La, no. Nothing worthy of worship except Allah. No other God but me. He didn't believe in Trinity and all the stuff that gets brought on and thrown. And when you study the Bible, you actually recognize Jesus never said, I'm God, never said, I'm the Son of God, or worship me.
Yeah.
To the contrary, he said, my Father, your Father, my God, your God, my Lord, your Lord. The Bible led me to Islam.
Did you have a problem? Some people, they say, okay, we don't believe Jesus is God, but they say he's the Son of God. So did you struggle with this? Because many Christians are brothers in humanity who we want the best for. And everyone's a potential Muslim. They have the potential to do God's will. And this is what Islam means, to submit to the will of God, not your desires. But people struggle with this Son of God, Son of God. They keep getting programmed, Son of God. Right. Did you have a problem with this?
Personally, I did not. My family, my relatives still do. Matter of fact, I need to make a distinction. There's a huge difference between family and relatives. Okay, relatives, you have a genetic pool. You share that with mother, father, cousins, aunts, uncles, and so on. But family, as Allah Ta'ala tells us, in the mu'minina ikhwah, the believers are nothing except brothers. So you're my brother, you're my family, though we're not related as a relative. Mm-hmm. So when I made that distinction, the pain that came from my family persecuting me or ridiculing and disrespecting Islam changed. Because now I know where my family is and how I'm bonded as opposed to my relatives. Mm-hmm. And I hope and want and do da'wah to relatives to become part of the family. But as Allah lets us know, we can't necessarily guide those whom we love.
He's in control, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So this Son of God now, you know, because if you read the Bible, you know, everyone who followed the commandments of God, someone who was pious, righteous, this was a Son of God, isn't it? According to the Bible's language.
Right, right. According to when it comes to looking at Hebrew language and Greek scripture, none of them were taken as a deity.
None of them.
So the way it's interpreted and looked at is today when someone says Son of God or children of God, it's the same fashion. When someone says, oh, I'm a child of God, they're not saying they're a son or daughter of God, meaning they're a deity, but they try to put that title on Jesus, which he never called himself. He called himself Son of Man.
That's like metaphorical now, you can say.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And it always has been. It's not literal.
Okay, so we get that out of the way that now you believe that Jesus was a mighty messenger, just like Abraham, Moses, Noah, and all the other messengers that God sent, and they came with the same message. Worship the maker of mankind, the creator, not the creation. That makes sense.
Simple. Simplicity.
Simple, pure monotheism.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So moving along, now you mentioned we have the, for anyone who wants to read, you know, study, open their mind, their horizons, the Quran, verbatim word of God. Does it have any deficiencies in it? Defects?
If it did, I would have to disown it because we have to give it the acid test. That was the challenge for me when I was studying. When I first read the translation of Quran, I couldn't understand. I'm like, this is in what we call in English first person. So it's speaking directly to me. And you can literally just open the Quran up at any page and it will speak to you. And this is directly from Allah Ta'ala. So when I look at these different things and I go back to what I studied in the Bible where it goes in Deuteronomy and it prophesied about this prophet that would be like Moses, for example, who is nothing other than Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, then it made sense where it talks about he will be speaking in a different tongue and so on and so forth. And under Ismail, the firstborn son of Prophet Ibrahim.
Yes.
Though we were taught Isaac was. Mm-hmm. You know, so it just really solidified that it's the truth.
Yes.
And if there's any errors, I have to disown it. I can't base my hereafter where I'm going to be longer than I'm alive on some falsehood.
We want to also help, you know, our brothers in humanity now that have taken, let's say the Bible, they've taken it as guides. I want to give them an example of what we mean by deficiency or defect. Because you said, look, if there's one defect, deficiency, alteration, subtraction, addition, it's not from the Creator. Period.
Right. That,
okay, so look, there's a man who out there who he owned an M6. They said that this owner was the Hulk over a defect, smashes his own car. Why? Because this car, he kept taking it back, and people are watching the video right now. Because it has so many defects and recalls, and look what he's doing, Nadir. Look, because this car has defects, this is a material thing. Look at this guy. He's smashing this car that's still worth, I mean, it was $80,000, so many hundred thousand euros, something like that. But look, they're both smashing it. They're making a statement that has defects. For us, it's no good. But now we make a comparison to our salvation. We can't follow a book that has been changed, been altered. Bible scholars tell us this.
Yeah, well, anybody can see. If you go to the book of Revelation, you actually go to the last verse. It tells you if anybody adds or subtracts from this, the punishment of God is upon them. Then you ask the Catholics who have 73 books in their Bible and the Protestants, which the Lutherans fall under, who have 66.
Yeah.
So they argue amongst each other what is actually part of the book and what's not. And that's their challenge. Not ours with the final book.
And that's why God sent the last and final testament.
Indeed.
Revelation, the Quran. Preserved, tamper-free, tamper-proof. And we have it till the end of time. That's it. And that's all you just mentioned. That's only the beginning. I mean, if you look at how many other versions have been changed. You know, didn't they say in the 1952 Revised Standard Version that the King James Version has grave defects?
Exactly.
So if that car got defects, you wouldn't take it. What about the book now? That's supposed to be from God. Can't have
base your hereafter on.
And you can't base. No. One creator, one maker of mankind. Worship him alone. And we'll be right back. We still got to mention, we got to talk about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson here. We're going to be talking about him on the Dean Show. We'll be right back. Tune in, Mike. Please don't go nowhere. We got some great advice to give you here on the Dean Show.
If you have a Facebook, guys.
I never ask a man for help. I ask Allah.
Have a Facebook. Make sure you like our statuses.
And think about death so I stay on a surat.
You never know that one person that you shared one of our videos to.
And when no one's looking, you sneak and give zakat.
You never know that person might change and end up becoming Muslim. And then you reap the rewards of everything that person has learned from your share.
You rush to work, but you're late for salat. A Muslim never brags, but his actions say a lot.
Like us on Facebook, Twitter, and follow us on Twitter. And one last thing.
You want peace of the Prophet, but not peace for the Prophet. See, that money is your Lord, so you worship an object.
Go subscribe. If you have a YouTube, subscribe.
So, Kitab or Quran, you learn words to a song.
Subscribe right now.
Hypnotized by a thong. You ain't watching for shaitan. You watch the weight you put on.
Good. Go do it.
Got my head on the ground and my knees on the floor. And the devil in my ear, Eddie, telling me to trade it for the world.
Do it right now. Don't say tomorrow. Do it now.
Islam is the truth. And that's no ands, ifs, buts, or maybes.
Back here on the Dean Show. And alhamdulillah that you got out of that robbery safe, sound, and you saved some lives potentially. Some people could have been killed. Did the mayor come down? Did the governor? Did you get a call from Obama and they give you a reward? Award?
No, unfortunately, I didn't come out the closet as a homosexual to get a call from Obama because I'm not homosexual. Yeah. Nor did I get anything from the city or aldermen like they've given other people of other faiths.
Yeah. So hopefully, look, Obama tuning in or some other governor or some politician, they watch the Dean Show and say, man, look, this guy saved some lives. You know, we get press coverage if somebody throws a firecracker the wrong way. He's Muslim, and it's all over the media. We know Islam doesn't have nothing to do with terrorizing people and, you know, all these things that have been attributed to it. But now a Muslim did some good, you know, and.
Well, I did it, you know, in self-defense. So the recognition is... I mean, it's unnecessary. And we know that when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. Yeah. For example, my brother, rahimahullah, he passed when he was 16, but he took his shahada at 14.
Yeah.
To the dismay and really hatred of my mother, but he died defending his life in a case of mistaken identity.
Yeah.
You know, so even in this situation of defending myself, if it was my time to go, I would be gone.
Yeah.
So we must be cognizant of that at any time. You know, the angel of death, he has our date. Mm-hmm. So we're walking calendars.
SubhanAllah. So let's switch. I want to take the people. You're going to listen to a clip right now. A clip on Mike Tyson. And then we're going to, let's listen to this clip.
Because I'm negative and I'm dark. And I want to do bad stuff. I want to hang out in this neighborhood alone. That's dangerous to hang out in this neighborhood alone right up here, right? It wants to kill everything. It wants to kill me, too. So, I mean, I hate myself. I'm trying to kill myself. I want to change my life. I want to live a different life now. I want to live my sober life. I don't want to die. I'm on the verge of dying because I'm a vicious alcoholic. And God, this is some interesting stuff. What the hell? I haven't took drugs in 6 days. And for me, that's a miracle. I've been lying to everybody else to think I was sober, but I'm not. This is my sixth day. I'm never going to use again.
Nadir, that was Mike Tyson, and he's Muslim. We know that. But he's going through some pain right now. You can see he talked about alcohol and substance abuse and not wanting to die. What are your comments when you see this?
Well, I've done dawah in a lot of different prisons. And one of the things I find is that in the prisons, without all of these distractions that the outside has, that people can practice their Islam better. So if Mike would go, if we can get him to go back to a place in his mind when he was locked up in a prison that distracted him from all these other outside things, because we have to remember as Muslims, this earth is a prison for the believers, but it's a paradise for the unbelievers.
Ad-dunya sijnu mu'min wa jannatul kafir.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you're just in a bigger prison with a lot more things around you. We know that the way to Jahannam, to the way to hellfire, is glittered with all this good-looking stuff, all these desires and all these things, where the path to paradise is not an easy one. So if we can help him recall what he thought and what he was thinking and the state he was in when he was locked up, when he was practicing Islam, when he was seeking the mercy and drinking from the stream of Iman, and feeling good and came out powerful and making that change, as opposed to where he is now and getting alone, and all of us have a jinn that tempts us, mm-hmm. and allowing these other things to distract him. I mean, he's dealt with the death of a child and a lot of things none of us would want in our own lives. But this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is all merciful.
Yeah.
So recognize that even though he's been released from the physical prison, that he's still in a prison. But Allah ta'ala is the one who gives us this freedom. And we, again, are headed on our way to death,
yeah.
which is the ultimate reminder.
Here's another clip. I'm going to show you another clip from one of the greatest athletes, boxers of all time, Muhammad Ali. Look what he says.
What am I going to do in the next 16 years? What's the best thing I can do? Get ready to meet God. Owning real estate, going in business, teaching boxers, that won't get me to heaven. Well, if this glass can't make itself, if I told you those clothes you have on wove themselves, nobody created them, those clothes made themselves, you wouldn't believe it. But if your clothes didn't make itself, if that glass couldn't make itself, if this building didn't make itself, then how did the moon get out there? How did the stars and Jupiter, Neptune and Mars and the sun, how did nature, how did all this come here if didn't know why is something planning to make it? So we don't stay here, we're just trustees, we don't own nothing. Even your children are not yours, if you think I'm lying. Your wife is not yours. You die and come back a year later and go sleep in your bedroom and see if your wife is by herself. See, you don't own your wife. I divorced my wife, you may have read about it, and my four children, they call another man daddy now. They don't see me no more. You don't own your children. You don't own your family. So what am I saying? The most important thing about life is what's going to happen when you die. Are you going to go to heaven or hell? And that's eternity. How long is eternity? Let's imagine.
Now, we wanted to contrast. You see, Muhammad Ali, who's in a position also during his career, who's inviting people to purpose, reminding people when he was asked, he says, look, you know, the best thing to prepare for is for the day of judgment, for meeting your creator. And he's taken that platform and he's inviting people to the purpose of life, helping to change people's lives for a positive. that will be on his scale of good deeds, isn't it?
Indeed.
But if you
indeed.
Take this platform that Creator's given you and you're talking about, you know, many of the evil things you've done, fornicating and all of the things that now we don't want to think about. We change now. We change. You might have been the worst, like Malcolm X.
Right.
You've seen his movie. He gave it up and he submitted to the will of God. How about Mike now? How could we give advice, the loving advice, because we love our brother, you know, to take that platform and use it for the Creator. Not
right.
the shaitan.
One of the great things, when you look at Muhammad Ali, he's looking at utilizing his influence to do da'wah. And one of the benefits is those who become Muslim, you get the benefit of their rewards when they do good deeds. And if they do bad deeds, you don't get any of the bad deeds. Now, with that, it's a choice. Mike has tremendous influence, but unfortunately, his wranglers and people that he will put himself around or surround himself with don't have his best interest in mind. It's more pimping him out or seeing how much money they can get from him. So with that, the reminder of the prison that you're in and surrounding yourself in good company. That in and of itself, subhanAllah, that can make, you know, highly glorified as Allah. That can make a huge difference in life. But more importantly, when we talk about the scale of good deeds, notice that it's not the number of good deeds, but it's the weight of them. Mm-hmm. So utilizing his influence and actually returning to where he was when he was studying and he was drinking from that stream of Iman can be influential on people, help them become Muslim, and that can continue because we know that we get three things that count after we're gone. That's a righteous child that prays for you. Key word being righteous child that prays for you. That's mm-hmm. why we, you know, started yeah. outstandingmuslimparenting.com. Then, of course, wealth that you spent that continues to benefit people, and knowledge that you've left that continues to benefit people. And he has the opportunity at least to work on two of the three of these things. And Allah Ta'ala knows best and will allow us to have that success and will us to invite him, you know, to join us as his brothers
yeah.
to do the same.
And that's the best field to be in now, inviting people to the purpose of life. And that's how you can really be successful, because the Creator is telling us that this life, the life of this world, is only the enjoyment of deception, isn't it? I mean, the Creator, if all of us, we believe as those who submitted to the will of God, the verbatim word of God, where the Creator is telling us the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. Truly, the life of this world is nothing but a quick passing enjoyment. And verily, the hereafter, that is the home that will remain forever, paradise.
Amen.
And avoiding the hellfire. I mean, any last closing comments and advice from Mike Tyson? He's watching right now, possibly. What would you say to your brother?
I would suggest that the brother return to his book, shut everybody out. Return to this Quran, to his Lord that knows him through and through and created him and loves us with our defaults, our defects and all, and drink from the stream of Tawbah. And remember that a person who killed 99 people still got paradise. You know, even though some people told him he wouldn't get paradise or there's no hope for him, there's always hope as long as you're living. But don't take this as a joke, because Allah Ta'ala is the loving, yes. But Allah Ta'ala is the just, yes, and he's the forgiving. But he's not a punk.
Yeah.
You can't fool Allah Ta'ala. You know, as in other religions, they say, well, you know, I'm going to do this now, I'll ask forgiveness later. We don't play those games. So return sincerely to Allah when you have an issue, alcoholism, you look at a companion, I think it was Al-Nu'an bin Amr, who had an issue, was an alcoholic, but how they dealt with him in the society. Or look at how Malcolm stopped, or look at how when the ayah came, the final prohibition on alcohol, how the streets of Medina were pouring with wine, and then take yourself back to Medina, take yourself back to the Kaaba, in the shade of the Kaaba, and remember how this deen continues to grow and touch people, and know that your heart is not too hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change.
Repentance. Repentance. Make repentance, change your life. Allah, the Creator of the heavens and earth, is the most loving, the most merciful. But don't test them. You can end up in the hellfire too, right?
Play. Indeed.
Don't play. Don't play.
Nah, yeah, exactly. This is not a joke.
It's not a joke.
So he's a fighter. Let's get it done.
So let's do good. Let's do much good now before we meet our Creator. Where can people, Mike, he said, I like what this brother is saying. You know where to look us up, Mike. If they want, he wants to contact you or anybody, where can they find you?
Well, at outstandingmuslimparents.com. So outstandingmuslimparents.com, outstandingmuslimparenting.com. Because we want to save our children from running the jahiliyyah the way we ran from jahiliyyah to Islam. I forgot to give you something.
Okay.
Okay, it's a gift from us to you, for parents, because you are outstanding. This is a book, Muslims Parenting on Purpose, Volume 1. So you don't have to worry about the trial and error method at all times, as well as a 6-CD set with setting the foundation and high standards for our family.
And people can find us at MuslimParenting.com.
Outstanding MuslimParenting.com.
Forgot about this. Yeah. Thank you again. Peace be with you again, brother.
Ameen. Wa ant. Wa alaikum salam. Wa rahmatullah.
And thank you for tuning in. We had a lot of stuff to talk about today on The Dean Show. I hope some of that stuff has gotten to resonate. Think about it, ponder. Our brother Mike Tyson, if you're tuning in, it's a signal, a sign from the creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, you don't expect him to put up, someone to put a big neon sign, what, you know, the prophet, peace be upon him, to come to you knocking on your door. This is how the signs work. So let's work to please our creator before we meet our creator, because death is a reality. And when it comes, it's too late. It's finished. You can't go back. And we know that everyone who surrenders and submits to the maker of mankind, the creator of mankind, the one that Jesus, Moses, Abraham, they all came with the same message. They didn't come with different religions. The religion was always the same. The way of life was always the same. Submit to your maker. But when death comes, they all warn people about the hellfire and paradise. But everyone who submits to the will of God, eventually, if they die on pure monotheism, eventually, as Muslims, they'll eventually end up in the paradise. But just like when you have a class acts felony, you know, the judge now will give you probation or send you to jail. Look, you might end up spending some time in the hellfire. May God Almighty protect us from spending a second in the hellfire. So we want to be prepared for that moment of death. When it comes, that now we've done as much good, we've sacrificed, our life, our prayer, everything was for the Creator. And when we did a bad deed, we followed up with a good deed, and we raised our hands and we said, "Oh, the most merciful, the most loving, forgive us." And then we live by those actions. It wasn't just lip service, and we weren't fooled by this by the people around us who are trying to just manipulate us and exploit us and all of these things that really at the end, they don't matter. But what matters is the pleasure of our Creator and eternity in paradise. So let's be good, do good. And Mike, let's have you on the program. And let's continue to, on our Facebook, you can go ahead and like us there and follow us on Twitter. We started Priceless Blessings. Before we cut out, we have a few people. You can also, your countless blessings, hashtag Priceless Blessings, at the Dean Show, and a couple of those that we'll share with you is my parents. Their love for me from Hazna Abdul Ghani wrote, "My parents' love for me and patience for me, this is a priceless blessing." Another person writes in, "The eyes that are able to appreciate the beauty of Allah, the Creator's creation. May God Almighty bless us all." So write in with your at the Dean Show Twitter page, hashtag priceless blessings. Why? So we can appreciate these priceless blessings that if they were taken away, what would you do with them? Money couldn't buy them. So we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Ya Allah. Yeah.